fuck like you call Giannis name. You don't like it? Well, fuck it, you don't have to listen. I'm speaking facts, when I talk, I know it's something different. I'm in the first state, crumbing like I'm first place. I talk that terrible shit, but you got worse takes. I got no anger for haters, that shit don't even matter. Cause when I finish the show, I'll grab some wine after. So let me get on this mic and make your brain freeze. I'ma do it my way, so all the lames leave. It's just me, you know I'm careful of fakes. So sit back and listen while I spit my terrible takes. Yo!
Oh shit, here we go. WrestleMania preview. What's up, mother lovers? Now, I've wrestled with the truth, and I've had some wrestling on the rocks. Talking about Mania, so shouts to BC with wrestling on... See, I fucked it up already. Shouts to BC with wrestling with the truth. We did a little WrestleMania preview show just the other night. Myself, Marsh, Clump, for Wrestling on the Rocks. We did a WrestleMania preview show. But it's come to my attention by several of you in the best side of the IWC that Bishop don't do what's right. I may get it right, but I don't do what's right. And I got to represent myself in these terrible wrestling takes and give you guys the real when it comes to WrestleMania. The real when it comes to Cody. The real when it comes to The Rock. The real when it comes to wrestling. And that's what you guys tune in for. And to not give you guys that as often as I want to, you know, I've also come to the realization that as much as I enjoy being at 100% in my preparation before I do this, I don't have to be. And that's what usually stops me. So I'm here today to lay down a little bit of a WrestleMania preview show. We'll see about doing WrestleMania recaps because myself, the Pawn, the Misses, we're going to night one. It's going to be awesome. We're going to Stand and Deliver. It's going to be awesome. Still got to catch up on some NXT because, man, that's a lot of wrestling to watch. But yeah, so the point of me going on this little soliloquy, as I've done for the last couple episodes, is that it doesn't matter when and where I record or even how prepared I am. Because at the end of the day, it's just fucking wrestling. It's just wrestling. So if it's on my head, then I should just turn this thing on and let it rip. So that's what I'm doing. And hopefully I can get you guys a couple more episodes. I just started a new job where I have to travel an hour there, an hour back for training. And to be fair, that's more than enough time to lay down some wisdom. You know, I can just record in the car. I've done it before. So why not do it again? So we'll see how it goes. I've made promises left, right, and center. You know, I thought I was going to be up in November. I thought I was going to be up in December. I thought I was going to be up in January. I thought I was going to be up in February. I thought I was going to be up by now. It's now April. We're a couple days away from Mania. And my setup's just not going to come when I want it to. So what I need to do is hit record and give you guys the gospel of the Bishop of all things terrible wrestling takes. So shouts to Track Apple and Cheap Pops as well for stealing my gimmick. But they're doing exactly what I had planned out to do, except with Twitter. So what the point of Terrible Wrestling Takes was to actually continue to listen to the podcasts that I used to, like Cheap Heat and Sam Roberts. Back in the day, I was listening to you know, Brian Campbell's podcast with CBS Radio. Listen to all of them, right? All the popular ones, Conrad, all that shit, right? Before there was a million of them. And I would just listen to these guys have these terrible wrestling takes. Especially those who, and if you don't see it this way, you're wrong, and then it doesn't happen that way, and they were wrong. You know, my takes, your takes, they're all terrible wrestling takes, because it's fucking wrestling. You know, again, when I was on with BC, we were talking about it, and it's like, it's a fucking TV show, you know? Like, nobody has a fucking, I mean, some people do, but, like, you don't have a Big Bang Theory podcast and go, Sheldon really just, you know, he's got to finish the story, man. You know, this character arc is just not going where it needs to go. Like, no, nobody does that. And it's because wrestling puts real sports into the feeling of what they do. So you want your football team to win a Super Bowl. You want your soccer squad to win the cup. Like, that's the vibe that wrestling gives you. So that's why people take it so seriously. And for me, I take my enjoyment seriously. And when you infringe on the enjoyment with these dumbass, terrible wrestling takes, like, Go listen to Chat Grapple and Cheap Pops a couple episodes ago. They pulled up some tweets and were like, hey, you guys are out of your fucking mind. You know, and that's what I was going to do. But hey, guys, I'm here to put it on tape. You guys take it. It's yours. You guys are better at it than I am. Calling out these terrible wrestling takes because I don't need to. I don't need to. I just need to spit truth. You guys call out the terrible takes. By all means, the blessing is yours. Give you the sign of the cross through the headphones. I've done blessed your eardrums. But now it's time to bless everyone else. WrestleMania week, man. I've never been to WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania 40. I remember being in kindergarten when this kid... So this would be 90, 91. But this kid came in the day after WrestleMania with a duffel bag with the WWE logo on it. It was like, my dad went to WrestleMania last night. And I didn't even know if it was true because I didn't know if it was. So let's look it up. Let's look up WrestleMania 5 and see if that was at Madison Square Garden. Some of you guys already know, but guess what? I don't need to be a fucking savant to be awesome at podcasting. So
you guys could all eat a dick.
And I don't, you know, I don't mean that. I love you guys so much. Atlantic City, New Jersey. So yeah, he that's 89.
It wasn't 89, it's next year. So WrestleMania 6. WrestleMania 6 was
it was in Ontario.
It was in Ontario. And let's see. Was WrestleMania 7? It's in California. So I don't think. No, I wasn't in kindergarten.
Yeah, so he didn't go to WrestleMania in Ontario. Motherfucker, he might have. I don't know. I really don't care. It wasn't that big a deal. I just thought it was so cool
because he had the bag with a duffel bag
with the WWF Legends logo on it. That old school shit with the blue and the yellow. I don't know if y'all remember when Wale Mania happened a couple years ago. Wale released the WW merch in the Legends logo in the old school font. And they actually had to pull it down. It was with this store called Villa, DTLR, another branch of them. They put it out. And before I had a chance to buy something, because I saw the hat in stores, before I had a chance to buy something, I had to pull it off the shelves. So I'm a little bummed about that. But anyway, my point is, never been to WrestleMania. Going to WrestleMania this year. It's in Philadelphia. I've been tracking prices since they came out. I had the chance to get live tickets when they first dropped, and I didn't because I was worried about going to both nights. Didn't know anything about the cards as they showed up. But I tell you what, just getting in the building for the three of us at a quality price, I ain't worried about it at all. I'm extremely excited to go. There's nothing that I'm going to regret except for night two. If night two happens and I'm not there and, you know, some special guests show up, I'll be a little upset. But I honestly, it's not even feasible. The pawn has school Monday, so it's not like, you know, it's not like him being out of school that Monday. If he was, we'd definitely go to night two. That was the first thing the missus said. She was like, well, what about night two? You can watch prices. I said, yeah, but what do you want to do? And she's like, you know what? Kids got school on Monday, so probably not a good idea. And I got work early too, so I'm going to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning Monday after WrestleMania. So it's gonna be tough, but you know what? We're going to do it. And we're going to do it because we can. So, again, tangent after tangent, that's what Bishop do. Third person now, right?
What a fucking douche.
Nah. But yeah, man, I'm excited. If you can't tell, I'm fucking excited, man. I'm excited for WrestleMania. The build has been awesome. A couple things that are all over the place, but at the end of the day,
why are you going? Why are you watching? And it's for the main events. And I'm not, like, my only real take about Mania, period, is I'm not a big fan of double main event. Have it be two separate people. Have it be two separate stories. But this is what they're doing, so I can't change that. But in my opinion, what I would have liked to see is the stipulation for night two be settled at a different point in time. Settling it at night one and having it be the main event of both nights, it's a little bit of a bummer. But I'll caveat with that saying, I don't think any of these matches feel less important. I think most of these matches feel just as important as they should where they are on the card, I don't think really matters anymore. I think in wrestling as a whole, to be honest, yeah, there's the rise and fall of how entertained you are, right? So you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be, I don't know, what, you don't want to go on after Ricochet and Dragon Lee go for a half hour, right? Because you just, people are just exhausted from watching it back and forth. So, you know, things like that. But I think a lot of these matches have just enough juice to just feel important on their own. And we're just going to run through the WrestleMania card because, you know, we don't have all day here to talk. And it's 13 matches listed. And there's nothing really much to say because I don't fantasy book. Winners, losers, you know, I don't think it matters much. I do think we could have a little bit more juice to some of these things. You know, Ray and Becky, they're doing a great job, right, of getting them to be cohesive in telling the story for their match. But Rhea being so tethered to Judgment Day is really sacrificing from the quality she could put into it. You know, when Rhea faced Charlotte the first time at Mania for the NXT title, they did the whole, this is where I came from in Australia, you know, that all that shit. We're getting none of that. We're getting none of that. We're not even getting like a year in review of Rhea's title run. That's a bit of a bummer. So my hope here is that Rhea gets a landmark win over Becky, or if Becky wins, it has to do with the downfall of Judgment Day because, you know, Rhea is distracted from the main goal, which is being one of the best women's wrestlers on the planet. I said back in one of my earliest episodes of this podcast that Rhea is pound for pound, age for age, gender for gender, best wrestler on the planet. And I mean, I'm wrong now. But back then, when she was like 22, 23 years old, she was that good. And she seems to be, in my opinion, saddled with this character of mommy, where her authenticity is diminished by having to put on this character. You know, when Becky was doing The Man, it was about how she took over the wrestling industry, right? Like, that's where The Man came from. And the GOAT Becky was based off the results of The Man character. See what I'm saying? So like, authenticity was always there. Now, Becky's character is, I'm still The Man after everything I've been through. I don't have my title, and I'm going to prove it to you. And she's the family woman now, right? So, you know, that's just kind of how I see this story being played out. And it's, like I said, that's only a bit of a bummer. If Rhea wasn't a part of Judgment Day, there's a chance that she's a bigger part of how this story is being told. Speaking of stories being told, Gunther versus Sammy. I have a problem with this one as well. But so I don't want to sound like a hypocrite here. I said I'm excited for WrestleMania and that all these stories have juice, and they do. But I'd be remiss to say that, to leave out where they lack, right? Gunther and Sammy is cool. It's going to be a phenomenal match. But Gable was the obvious choice, right? Gable was the one. And then, of course, we'd all say, well, damn, Sammy was in the main event. Now he's off of WrestleMania. Yeah, because he deserves it. When you look at a character who flip-flops his own confidence, how are we supposed to be the ones to carry him through if he keeps bringing our emotions down? That's exhausting, man. That's exhausting. It's almost to that addiction level where you can't help someone who doesn't want to help themselves. If anyone's who had an addict in their family and you want them to wean themselves off of alcohol or drugs or really get help, and you're trying so hard and they just keep using and using and using without caring, it's because they don't care. And what that means is you care more than they do. But you can't help someone who doesn't want to help themselves. And that's what I see in Sammy. Sammy doesn't want to help himself. He doesn't want to stay at the top. He wants to be the underdog. Well, then fuck it, man. Be the underdog. But you just main evented WrestleMania. You need to not get the main event of WrestleMania anymore. You need to be the mid-carder for life. You know, at least Chris Jericho, in his mind, is a main eventer. But he's the highest, the top tierest of mid-carders of all time. It's Chris Jericho, Mr. Perfect, Roddy Piper, Rick Rude. these guys who are career mid-carders, who Jake Roberts, right, who have a great purpose there, who are athletically driven to be masters of their craft. And Piper's had some main events, and Jake Roberts has had some main events, but they're not the top guys. And I don't give a fuck what anyone says about Chris Jericho. That motherfucker's an IC champ for life. He won a couple titles, but it ain't nothing special about him. Nothing special about him. Beating Rock and Austin in the same night because they both said, "Yeah, we don't need it. Let Chris take it. We don't need it. Let Chris have it." And you don't even remember what Chris did with those titles. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, my point is, someone like Sammy, whose character can constantly gets to the top and then goes down, gets to the top and then goes down, gets to the top and then goes down. Not through losing. Most of the time, it's not from, "I just can't get a win anymore." No, it comes from, "I just don't have it. I just don't have it anymore." Just this lacking confidence in him. Sorry, dude, that's a you problem. Cat Williams famously said in one of his stand-up specials, "How could I mess up self-esteem?" That's esteem of your goddamn self. This is Sammy's self-esteem. It's not our esteem. It's not the fans' esteem. So this Sammy fucking woe is me character, I'm sorry, man. Go fuck yourself. I ain't got time for that. It's going to be a fantastic match. I'm super excited that those two matches that I kind of just shitted on the build are on night one. Becky versus Rhea. That's a dream match for me. You know, Bishop getting back into wrestling and seeing these two talents. Picking, I've said it from probably episode one on this podcast. As soon as I saw Becky as part of that call up, I said, "That's mine. She's got it. She's got the presence. She feels the most comfortable. She's got the most tools." And I feel 1,000% correct about that, because at the end of the day, she's going to go down as the greatest women's wrestler of all time. I don't give a fuck what Charlotte does. But when I saw Rhea as well, I saw this woman, and it shocks me every time that I see her. Her actual height is like 5'7". She just looks like, in the best way possible, you know, a middle linebacker in football. She's just built stocky and athletic, and she's strong and physical and athletic. She's built like a pure athlete, and she moves like one. I gravitated to her from the very first Mae Young Classic. And better yet, in the second one, where she had a character coming into it. She did nothing with the WWE between the first and second Mae Young Classic until the second Mae Young Classic was about to start, because that's when NXT UK started. And when all that came together, Rhea came in with a character, and I was like, "Ooh, this is good." She was only like fucking 22, 23 years old. I was like, she's just another level to be that young, to be that talented. So I'm really glad that these two matches are happening. It's just a bummer that the stories were so short based on how these characters are positioned. So I would like to see Rhea get a landmark win over Becky, because she beat Charlotte last year and I completely forgot about it, because it just didn't remember. The match wasn't memorable. I don't give a fuck what WWE put it on for its matches of the year last year. It was not top three. It was not top three. Wasn't even the best women's match on that card. So anyway, Gunther versus Sammy should be a fantastic match. I don't see Sammy taking it. I'd like to see Dragunov come up, or Carmelo Hayes come up, or Brian Breaker come up and defeat Gunther. Or it's got to be Gable. And if it's Gable and he has a nice six-month run where there's some IC title matches that are just fucking bangers that we know Chad Gable could put on, that'd be dope. But Gunther's ready. Gunther's ready for the next step. And the story between Gunther and Cody is 2 years long of Cody being the one to not let Gunther advance to the next level. So I'm cool with that. I like to see all that come together. The six-pack ladder match, you know, for the tag team titles, this is an opportunity to really uplift the tag team title scene. They did a tournament to have the members announced. So in that, there was a lot of fuckery. But that tournament also helped build the Latino storyline that's happening between Legado del Fantasma and the LWO, which is leading to another match on this particular night. And you can't be mad at that if they're putting the time in to get us some type of payoff. Now, it's been a year since the Usos lost those titles And since the Usos lost those titles, they haven't meant anything. You know, again, that's the credit to the Bloodline story, that the Usos going after both titles to unify them felt like, holy shit, this is about to happen. And them losing to Sami and KO at WrestleMania last year was such a big fucking moment that, again, that's why I didn't want Cody to win a title last year. Because since Sami and KO won those titles, look what's happened to Sami and look what's happened to KO and look what's happened to those titles. It's exactly why I didn't want Cody to win last year. Because nothing has happened. And if Cody won last year, nothing would have happened. It's how the characters are built. It's how the stories are built. There's nothing afterwards for them to do. Sami and KO, they hit the pinnacle last year. They hit the mountaintop. And they took down the Usos. They are the reason the Usos are facing each other this year at WrestleMania. They put the first nail in the coffin to the Usos. So, with that being said, hopefully this tag title scene can add some legitimate, or the tag title match can add legitimacy to the scene. Because something I mentioned on Wrestling on the Rocks the other night is Triple H seemingly has less concern with the tag division because they unified the titles last year at WrestleMania, but they didn't change the belt. Roman's got a new belt. When are they going to change the new titles? When are we going to get new tag titles? You know what I mean? If they're unified, why do they still have four straps? So when are they going to care about the tag team scene? I'm excited for this ladder match. I think it's going to be fun. I've never seen a chaotic ladder match like this in person. So I'm really excited for it. As mentioned before, we have Jay versus Jimmy at WrestleMania. Lil Wayne's going to be a part of it. People think that it's going to be his entrance. It might be. It might not be. Last year, the Usos had Lil Uzi Vert, and it was Uzi's song. So Wayne did say he's bringing a new song. So if they're going to do Wayne's new song while Jay comes down, that's dope. But Jay's got a dope entrance song. So why not? You know, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'm excited for it. I've mentioned it before. I'll say it again. I wish we had some type of, you know, Rikishi narrated story video package that went with this. This has been a build of moments since SummerSlam, if not beforehand. You know, we had Jay saving Jimmy and Jimmy saving Jay and all this stuff that's going up and down. Where's the promo package? Where's the promo package for this one? That shit to really make you cry, make you tear up, make you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe these brothers are fighting. And we don't have that. And if Rikishi was a part of that narration, you know, that would be dope. But we don't really have that. So we'll see. We'll see if they pull one out of their ass. If they do, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm excited for Jay versus Jimmy, and I hope it's everything that they want it to be. We have the six women tag match with Bianca, Jade, and Naomi versus Damage Control. This is what I would consider to be the spectacle match. And it's just to see Jade and see what she can do. Her and Bianca are going to end up doing some type of physical feat together. Naomi is super athletic, so hopefully she fits in here too. I do not expect this to be, you know, the cliched five-star classic, but I do expect it to be the spectacle that it's supposed to be. And look, we have it, right? We have the technical wrestling matches with Gunther and Sammy and Rhea and Becky. We have the WrestleMania style match in the tag ladder match. We have your feud stories with the LWO and Legado and the Bloodline and Cody and Seth. And now we have the spectacle. And that's something that we've always had at Mania. And that's just kind of how I feel there. So I'm putting zero weight on this, but I am going to watch and see what happens. And I care nothing about storyline in the match. And I care nothing about, quote, in-ring psychology. I don't think they're going to take me for a ride because I really don't care who wins or loses. I just want to see how this is going to look. So I'm looking forward to it because it's a chance to see what WWE has in store for Jade. So LWO versus Legado, which, well, Legado and Dominic, right? So Santos and Dominic versus Rey and Dragon Lee. And I find this to be a little wonky, but again, still excited for it. It feels like reverse booking, right? We had Rey and Dom last year, and now we're getting the tag match this year. Maybe we get a third match next year where Dom gets the victory. That would be pretty cool. But I don't see this being bad. You know, we've seen a version of these four wrestle each other, you know, in one way or the next a few times. So I'm excited. It should be fun. Nice high-flying match, fast-paced. All good. Maybe it's the sponsored match again. If you remember last year, sponsored by Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So we'll see if this one's sponsored by someone. Hopefully it is, because get that money. You know, WWE needs to get that money. Last but not least, on night one, the Bloodline, Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. A big reason why we ended up getting tickets to WrestleMania, because, look, that little kid is always inside of you. You know, I'm 39. I grew up in the heart of the Attitude Era. I started watching even earlier than that. I mean, you guys know my story from listening for so long now. You know, when my parents split up as a kid, me and my pop, we used to go to, my pop and my brother, we used to go to Blockbuster and rent movies. And we'd end up with some type of horror movie, Freddy or Jason or Child's Play, but always something wrestling. Always something wrestling. And from a kid, I mean, we're talking, you know, when, I mean, shit, man, all of them. But the biggest for me, you know, when it all lined up, it was Hogan versus Warrior, you know, belt for belt. That's the very first one that, like, I remember as a kid cheering. And when I went back and watched it as an adult, just quick side tangent, I remember as a kid that when they pinned each other and did the counts and the crowd was counting, I could have sworn as a kid that was like a 10-minute segment. That shit took forever. Rewatching that shit now, it's like 30 seconds. So, man, time flies when you get old. But, you know, watching that on tape, because I know I didn't see that live. I remember, the first WrestleMania I saw live was WrestleMania 9, which is why it's one of my favorites. But like I said, that kid who came in to kindergarten with that duffel bag, like, made me jealous. Like, oh, like, I want to go to WrestleMania, you know? And growing up in the heart of the Attitude Era, I mean, one of my first TV memories, real quick, was Bret Hart winning the trophy. And I forget what the trophy was for. It was like some Triple Crown trophy or some shit like that. He won that, I think, on a Saturday or some shit. And so we're talking, that's like 94, 95, right? So I remember watching all of that. And then really, really getting into the Ringmaster, Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? Like, I was into that guy because he was a $1 million champion. And I used to have Ted DiBiase and Virgil on my wall. Shouts to Virgil, RIP. I used to have that poster. So when I saw the $1 million title on this guy, I'm like, cool. So I went on this whole ride, right? And we all know this, the build of Stone Cold. Well, that Stone Cold Rock Icy title feud, again, that's their best work, because there was no star power. It was just pure storytelling, trying to become stars, right? That type of work was so good. I was like, man, I really like both of these guys, but Austin's my guy. Cut two, I never got an opportunity to watch, to go to a live show when I was a kid in an A town. I went to a B show where King Kong Bundy versus Sid was the main event. In the heart of the Attitude Era, they were selling the Sable Playboy at the show I went to, and I got a Stone Cold shirt. And I was in seventh grade, so that's what I was like, 12, so maybe 97, 98? Yeah, 97, 98. So, like, this is happening. You know what I mean? This is happening right around me. And maybe eighth grade. So yeah, 97, 98, 99, in that time frame. So like, I watched these guys become stars. So when I got the opportunity to see The Undertaker announced for the 900 SmackDown, I got tickets because it was within driving distance, and I went and I heard the gong, and it was beautiful. Loved it. Kane's music, all that stuff. Loved it. And then we got a surprise appearance by The Undertaker where he came out from under the ring. And like, that's fulfilled for me, right? And when you think about these moments that you watch on TV or in person, that surprise pop, it's always about the entrance music. So to be able to be in the building for The Rock's music to hit, are you kidding me? They've changed it up, but it still starts with the If You Smell. You know what I mean? And when we talk about impressions that people do of wrestlers, right? Everyone has a Hogan of some sorts. Everyone has a Macho Man of some sorts. But everyone tries to do the If You Smell. You know, like it's iconic. So when are we ever going to get a chance to see The Rock again? Like I almost went to WrestleMania in Dallas, like on some, they're putting 100,000 people in there. I got to be able to fit somewhere just so I can hear the glass break. And that's kind of my hint, hint, nudge, nudge about not being able to go to night two, because I have a feeling something like that's going to happen. Get that to that in a second. But The Rock being there is going to be cool. I've seen Roman Reigns a ton. Seen Roman Reigns a ton, and I love watching him wrestle in person. I think he gives way more than the internet gives him credit, and he always has to fight through more shit than everyone else because all those fucking haters out there. So anyway, that's just my tangent on the fact of if The Rock wasn't going to be there, we wouldn't be so excited to make sure that we would go. But this is once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it's right up the street. I mean, Philly's, like I said, it's an hour drive from me. You know, I'll look it up on my phone right now. Fuck it. Let's see. Lincoln Financial Field. Directions. We have, bang, 53 minutes, 48 miles. That's how close I am. You know, so like going is not a big deal. Or getting there, I should say, is not a big deal. Why we're going, you know, The Rock's a huge deal. And I'm so glad that I'm getting that opportunity. So glad I'm getting that opportunity. I know a lot of people would love to do it. So if you can't make it and you wanted to, hey, I'm doing this for you too. But let's get into the booking of it, right? They're doing a fantastic job with getting the excitement for WrestleMania. But the nuance in the storytelling has been between Rock and Cody. And that kind of just, it just puts up my spidey senses. You know, from the beginning, I always thought this had something to do with the Rock and Cody being a little bit too tight, a little bit too close. It's basically because Cody never came out and said what he sought the counsel of Rock for. If you remember on SmackDown, when he went to confront Roman Reigns, he said, you know, and I spoke to someone who knows you more than anyone else. Because he said he sought counsel from dignitaries and contemporaries. And you know how he fucking talks, Cody, in his bullshit promos. The Rock was part of that. And what was that counsel that The Rock gave him? And I think this is part of it. That you need to break him down to beat him. So I'll help you break him down. You just got to trust me. And I kind of think that's where they've been this whole time. That we have to make this believable. And I could be wrong, and I don't care. That's not why I'm saying this theory. I'm saying this theory because this is what they're showing us on TV. Why is this Rock going after Cody, right? And they set it up because, I mean, Rock just said it on the last Monday. Cody opened his mouth when he shouldn't. He talked about the wrong people, saying how, you know, with the family wouldn't be proud. So if that's what The Rock is putting it on, then okay, I'll bite. But I guess just that beginning of it being convoluted with the Cody crybabies, The Rock didn't say any words before people thought, you know, oh, well, they're changing WrestleMania because the fans didn't care. Me and Marsh said it from the beginning. Y'all got worked way too quick. The plan was always going to be Cody versus Roman. Y'all just got worked way too quick. Way too quick. So anyway, I don't really know what to expect, but I don't see how you get out of this tag match clean. Something has to happen for someone to get fucked over and tripped up, because The Rock is the only one without something to to get into next on night two. For instance, Seth has a match with Drew. Roman and Cody are facing each other. They all have value heading into night two. The only one who doesn't have value is The Rock, and he can't take the fucking pin. And if Cody takes the pin, how's he going to lose night one but win night two? It's so odd. It's such an odd thing to put there. But if The Rock and Roman win, it's for bloodline rules. And I think this might be a way to try to implode the bloodline. If you do bloodline rules and Roman loses, because, look, bloodline rules doesn't mean only bloodline members are allowed. It means Cody can squad up. So there's rumors out there of who can be on Cody's squad, and I see that, and that's okay. The story isn't there, though. So if Cody wants to finish his story, he's just going to go get help from Legends, not family. And that's no disrespect, but Cody's whole thing, right? It's about his dad. It's about his brother. It's about his sister. It's about his mom. This whole thing. There's more than one royal family in wrestling or whatever the fuck his music says. Roman has only had help from his family. Cody needs to find people. That's a problem for me. Because Cody plus people is not bigger or more powerful than Roman, Rock, and their family. That's why I've said from the beginning, like, this Cody character, it's not Roman. And it doesn't have to be. But when you talk against it or wrestle against it, you have to level each other. So what you have to do is break Roman down and bring Cody up at the same time. So if you keep taking parts of Roman's family away, and now you're just one-on-one, now you have a more fair fight, but you also have a 4-year dominant champion that Cody's going up against. So Cody got to lose. I don't know if he loses. I've been on record saying that I'm 70-30, 60-40, Cody winning. Because it's the right thing to do right now to help break down Roman so we can move on appropriately. Now, Cody gets help from Legends. Roman's family implodes. Cody wins. Roman wants his comeuppance. They have a one-on-one. No bullshit, no fuckery. Cody actually wins. Damn. Okay, there we go. We broke down Roman. We waited 6 months. Roman loses again. Bang. Now you have that 6-month build of Cody getting higher while Roman just stays at the level he was when he lost that Mania. You now have two wrestlers, same plane. Cody wins. We move on. Roman's still considered one of the greatest of all time. Okay, that's the kind of shit I've been talking about. And you couldn't do that last year because, again, what has Cody done since last WrestleMania? He had a feud with Brock. He won the tag titles. He lost to Drew with interference. Other than that, what, that little feud with Nakamura to keep him busy? You know? But I'm not saying Cody's not a star. I'm not saying Cody shouldn't win. I'm saying, is his character on Roman's level? No. Is there fatigue with Roman? Yes, I get that. I'm not dumb. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. But character for character, highlight reel for highlight reel, what are we talking about? Cody's not even close. So let's continue to build Cody up by overcoming The Rock or taking some of the juice from The Rock and beating Roman. That's okay. All right, so that's where I'm at with that. We'll see what happens on night one to set up for Cody, but I don't think Cody wins and Bloodline being banned from ringside. If Cody and Seth win, Bloodline banned from ringside is going to hold. I just don't. It needs to be Bloodline rules so Cody can bring in other factors. But again, I would still have a problem with that storytelling. Because family is going to fight harder and tougher than outside sources because they not just have the competition to win, but they also have the pride of their family. So that's just the funkiness of how this is going, but the intensity of the story is really awesome, so I dig it. I dig it. Let's just jump into night two real quick. We got Seth versus Drew. Another story, just like Rock and Cody. Drew and CM Punk is kind of superseding what this match is. So if Drew wins and for the next 6 months just brags to CM Punk's face that I won the title, haha, you've been sitting out, great, right? Like, okay. But what does it mean for Drew and his story, right? I didn't get a chance to win the title at WrestleMania in front of a crowd. He does that. I got my moment. And CM Punk had to announce it. Now it's just going to be about Drew and CM Punk. Well, they can also do that without Seth or without Drew winning. But I also don't think Seth should win here because he needs a quick little rebuild. And we've talked about it before on other shows that had Seth lost the title to Jay when they had their phenomenal match, had Seth lost the title to Sammy when they had their phenomenal match, that title means something because more people want it and they know what it's like to lose it. And something like that would have been pretty great. So we'll see. We'll see how that match goes. I'd like to see Seth lose the title just so he can go through another rebuild. Maybe change up his music a bit so he can have a little bit more of a demeanor to him as opposed to just being, you know, I mentioned I'm wrestling on a rock the other night. I think Seth has peaked. It's a great peak to have. He's hit a mountaintop that many of them can't. But if this is it, you know, if his song now is the what chant, and it's always going to happen every time we see him, he's better than that. You know, he's a better wrestler than that. I'd like to see him diversify one last time and change some things up. Io versus Bayley, I think, is a great opportunity to give Bayley a nice, you know, chapter closed in her book. This damage control run from SummerSlam 2 years ago till right now has been a really good character exploration for Bayley. She was a mic for about a year, you know. Then she gets an opportunity to do some wrestling. She performed very well. Royal Rumble, she looked amazing. So I think her and Io can put on a fantastic match. I said, again, in one of the preview shows that this could easily be the match of the weekend, the technical and best match of the weekend. It won't be the story we remember coming out of it. There's too much juice everywhere else. But this might be the best wrestled match of the weekend. And I would look forward to it being that much. And hopefully it is. If not, though, they'll still be fantastic. So I'd like to see Bayley win. Put a nice, you know, like I said, close a chapter on the damage control with Bayley being on top. I think it would be fantastic. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. You know, something we came up with on Wrestling on the Rocks, and I implore you to go on YouTube and check them out. You know, the episode we did for WrestleMania. You know, we talked about what LA Knight and AJ Styles are doing here, and it's really cool to see them just get in their creative bag, right? Let's do this. Oh, you know what make this story hot? Fuck, man. Yo, let's get arrested on your front lawn. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like they're doing. Let's get as intense and crazy as we can, and then good to go. And I really truly feel that's what's happening. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe not, I don't know. But nothing's happening in the ring. You know, we've seen it in other feuds where, well, I'm going to wrestle you at WrestleMania, and just to give them a taste, why don't you grab a tag team partner, I'll grab a tag team partner, and we'll go out there and fuck around tonight. They're not doing any of that. They're creating a natural feud by fucking each other over in storyline. Oh, you cut the line to get the Roman. You cut the line to get the Roman. Why are you going after this? I should be going. Bang. Gotta love it. Just straight competition. So I'm assuming they're going to pull off a great match because they seem to have the gloves off and are able to tell whatever story they want. And I think they're both confident enough in the ring that they've been giving all the energy to the storytelling, you know, moving forward. So I'm really excited about that match. A little bit bummed not going to be able to see it in person. But if the trade-off is Jay versus Jimmy, I'm okay with that. Also listed on night two, we got Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. And I like this match because you have Logan Paul, who hasn't missed. And you have two legends who really know how to run a match, really know how to coordinate what's going on. So to have these three working together, it's going to be just another one for the Logan Paul highlight tape that's going to make him a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's already a celebrity Hall of Famer, but he's about to be an in-ring performer Hall of Famer. So I don't really care who wins here. It'd be nice for like a Kevin Owens thing to happen, but I think Randy and Kevin, honestly, Team RKO sounds great. I just like to see them be a tag team. And again, like something like this, where it seems like it's happenstance or they just forced it. When you look at a team like Randy and Kevin, they teamed out of fuck it, why not? And they got listed for the same match and they go, all right, well, title's on the line, fuck it. I'll see you in the ring. You know, it's there's no hate, there's no animosity because they're performers and they're competitors. And they know at the end of the day, it's about winning. You know, in basketball, when teammates play one-on-one or they practice against each other, they don't have to hate each other for that second. They just have to compete. And I see that's what's going to happen. There's no slight, no heel turn, no, none of that on each other. It's just, how do we have this common enemy? And then at the end of the day, we also have a common goal. So they both don't like Logan Paul. But, hey, might as well win this championship while I'm here. And that's what I see going on there. The only match I really don't care about is the Pride. Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akeem, and Rezar. Because I'm not a Kross guy. And even his WrestleMania announcement promo is a perfect example of just my inability to believe what he says when it comes to storytelling. And I just don't buy in. I don't buy in. He talks mythical. He talks supernatural. And then it's flat. Then he's a guy who roars. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. It doesn't add up. Even the Fallen Prey in NXT, like, again, you come through the smoke and you just go, rah, rah. Okay. TikTok, it's not working. To me, it's never worked. Never understood it, never got it, never felt it. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. But finally, we're going to get Roman versus Cody for the Universal title. And look, like I said before, I'm 70-30, 60-40. Cody's going to win. I don't see a way out with Cody winning clean. If Cody and Seth win night one, and then Cody wins clean night two, I don't see Monday, Friday, Monday, Friday, Monday, Friday having the ability to show competition. Because Cody hasn't done that. Cody has been the most flawless wrestler we've had in a very long time. And that includes Roman Reigns. When you show up and win all the time, he lost a match to Brock Lesnar by passing out because he refused to tap, right? And then he loses a tag match where he didn't take the pin. Then he lost to Drew McIntyre where the distraction was the storytelling. So when I was a Roman Reigns fan of Big Dog and y'all were saying, oh, why are they forcing him down our throat? Why are they forcing him down our throat? Besides those three matches, name two other matches that Cody has lost since he's been back. And you can't, because he's only lost one other match. Cody is the most force-fed wrestler we've had in a very long time. And for good reason, like I told you guys, I get it. I get why it's happening. But not a second of it feels earned. Not a second of it feels in doubt. So when you have the absolute, where's the doubt? Show me that Cody's vulnerable enough to lose. And you can't. You can't. Two of his losses since coming back have been with a bloodline distraction. And the other two losses, one was to passing out, and the other one, somebody else took the pin. That's it. So show me where it's in doubt that Cody's going to lose. Because even when he gets beat down by The Rock in the parking lot, he's still moving. Even when he gets beat down in the ring, he's still moving. He's never out of it. He never gives up. He never quits. And that's redeeming. Absolutely. John Cena's slogan is never give up, and he still loses. You know what I'm saying? You're allowed to lose matches to show vulnerability. There's nothing about this that I think Cody's going to lose, except it makes for better storytelling because people don't want him to lose. And that's where my 70-30 fits in. 70 is, yes, you guys are correct. It is a good time for Cody to win. My 30 is that Cody still isn't going to be able to carry the mantle afterwards because his version of storytelling right now is Cody's story. And once his story is complete, he might as well lay the belt down on the ground and retire from wrestling because he has zero desire to be one of the greatest champions of all time. He has zero desire to raise up younger talents around him. All he ever wants to do is shake hands, kiss babies, and win that title. That's it. That's it. And what has he been able to do since he's been back? He's been able to shake the hands. He's been able to kiss the babies. He's wearing the suits. He's doing the Cena thing. He doesn't need the title to do it. So where do we go from here? Once Cody wins, where do we go from here? Now, I said that last year with a lot more confidence, knowing that we weren't going to go anywhere. Cody winning this year still leaves us with less to do than if Cody loses. But it will complete the Cody character, so then not so Roman can move on, so Cody can move on. 2 years of this same shit with Cody. I'm over it. I'm just over it. It hasn't changed. It hasn't gotten better. I'm not more invested. That's not why I want Cody to win. I want Cody to win so Cody can move the fuck on and do something else. Finish the story, man. Go ahead. Go ahead. And then by SummerSlam, when you got some bullshit match with Seth that we know you're going to win, okay. And then at Mania next year when you're going against Gunther and you win, okay. And then Mania 42 when you go against Gunther again and he finally wins, okay. But we'll see. I'm excited to go to Mania. You should be excited to go to Mania. I'll be wearing my TW Takes hat. I probably won't be wearing a TW Takes shirt because I'll be buying merch and wearing that. All I got to know is, will I see you there? Tweet me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter.
See you at Mania.
I'll be talking to you right here next time.